I love the words of some of those songs. Does it sound okay? You can hear me okay? Great. Let's put these over here. Well, over the past 7 years, we have been coming back here to Westlock Gospel Chapel whenever we're back in Canada. And over the time that we've been in Ethiopia, you guys have been a big part of our ministry there. Because of you, we get to be involved in the task of Bible translation in Ethiopia. So thank you. First thing I got to say, thank you for being faithful and loyal partners to us. For those of you who have not yet met us, Karen and myself have 3 daughters, and yes, they come with us to Ethiopia. We have some colleagues in Ethiopia that they're American, and when they go back to the States, people say, "You don't take your kids with you, do you? Really?" Yes, yeah, they have kids in Ethiopia too. Yeah, but isn't it dangerous? I don't think they have Netflix there. What about Amazon Prime? No, they do not. But I am a programs director there in Ethiopia, which means that I oversee the work we do in partnership with the Ethiopian church as they do the Bible translation. We also do scripture engagement activities, and we have a recording studio so that any translated scripture is also available in audio form. And today's sermon is called Extravagant Love, the Story of the Hajat. And my passage for today is in Luke 6:27 to 36. And I almost want you not to open your Bibles. I don't want you to be distracted, because we're going to watch today's scripture and listen up there, because there's something different that happens when we're watching and listening than when we're reading. So you'll be allowed to open your Bibles after we watch it. But for now, just try and focus on the words that you're about to hear. So go ahead.
For listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
So that video is a part of the LUMO project, and they've created all 4 Gospels in video form like this. And this is one of those huge ministries that impacts global missions, where they don't give us a script to translate. But if it's strictly the words of the Bible put to and narrated to a video that's really well done. They look like they're from the Middle East. It's really quite an authentic kind of a Bible program. And all of the Bible translations in Ethiopia that are now starting, they have it in the budget so that we get to record the audio for all those minority languages so they can watch this pure scripture sections and watch it, not all at once, but have Bible stories around it. But let's open today and our time together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we dedicate ourselves to you today. We dedicate ourselves to being open to your Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Father, may we be challenged by the words and stories that we'll be listening and thinking about today. May anything that comes out of my mouth, Lord, glorify you and not be a hindrance to the work you're doing in people's hearts here in Westlock. We give you ourselves today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you are hereby allowed to open your Bibles now. Luke, again, that's Luke 6, 27 to 36. So, what's the context of this scripture that we've just watched and listened to? Well, within a larger section of Luke, from chapter 4 to chapter 9, Jesus is ministering in Galilee. And it's still early on in his ministry, so he is around his home area. And he's getting geared up to take that long journey to Jerusalem, which the Gospel of Luke is specifically building up towards. And then this passage is within a section from chapter 6, verse 12 to 49, where Jesus is teaching his disciples specifically, and the crowds kind of secondly and peripherally. He first calls the 12 disciples, then he takes time to explain how a community of disciples is to live a life together in this world. And like the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, it seems that he is talking specifically about discipleship to the disciples, but in the context of many people gathered to glean from his teaching. And in today's passage, there are three main commands, and they're all combined, and each one shows up multiple times. And we've heard it before, preached on these specific commands, but they are here for those who claim to be disciples. So, of course, for those in this room, these three points are, number one, love your enemies. Number two, you are to do good. And number three, you're to give generously. Those, in the passage we heard, they're all mixed together, but that's what Jesus was getting at there in these verses. And these points are pivotal to how, number one, we live together. I mean, look around this room. We need to obey this. Sometimes we feel like our brother is our enemy, and we need to still get along, even with dissenting views and differing views. But also, it's number two, how we live together in a society. Now, what's interesting about these points is that they are foundational to any stable society. No matter what religion you follow, Hindus, Muslims, etc., would all agree with these three points. They play out differently, of course, and the definition of what good means is different in different cultures, but every rational human of any background would agree that these three points are good points to live by. So why is it important, or what is unique about these three points when they are given by Jesus? What makes them different than the other religions of the world? And, of course, there's been much debate about how we see the Sermon on the Mount and other sayings of Jesus. Could we see Jesus simply as an ethical or a moral earthly teacher? I mean, do you believe that's what he was? Well, if you're here today, you'll likely agree that he was that. But also, in addition to that, that Jesus was the Son of God and not just an earthly teacher. So why is it important, or what's unique about these points when Jesus teaches them? And that's the point of the sermon today, to answer the question of how being a disciple of Christ changes everything and how we live these three points out. And my illustrations for today will be from one specific, long-enduring case study that happens in Ethiopia and from the work that I've been a part of with the Hadjat people. So, the first sermon point for today is that we live these points out, loving your enemies, doing good, and giving generously by being intentional. We need to be intentional. As disciples, we live thoughtful lives, being purpose-driven, as we've heard many times before. Now, let me tell you the story of the Hadjat. Let me tell you a bit of a story. It was about 14 years ago this month that I was dropped into Ethiopia. But it was about 40 years ago this month that Wycliffe Bible Translators became a part of Ethiopia's story. And it was 40 years ago that Ethiopia had just begun its 17 years of communism. And about 44 years ago, the communist revolutionaries got rid of the famous Emperor Haile Selassie, about 44 years ago. And around that time, there were several European Wycliffe workers who came to Ethiopia. And they were sent by different Wycliffe organizations in Europe to work as professors teaching linguistics for the government-run Addis Ababa University. And one of these professors started doing linguistic research among the Hadjat people, who are a majority Muslim, unreached people group. And by the way, Hadjat is not the real name of the language. We use that name instead because it's a very sensitive project. But anyway, several years later, they had published a dictionary, and which is today still the standard that that language community is using, over 1 million people. And the orthography, the alphabet, the grammar, and other language development work began. And in cooperation with local governments, this minority language flourished. And to the point now that it is one of the most developed languages in Ethiopia, one of the 87 languages that's in Ethiopia. And the youth of this Hadjat people are very proud of their language, and they're learning it in school until the 12th grade. And their whole identity is wrapped up with this language. But from the start, this European Wycliffe linguist had three unstated goals that he didn't tell people. And that was, number one, that the Bible be translated into Hadjat, that the Bible be read by the Hadjat people, and that the Bible would come to transform the Hadjat. And so in their spare time, these linguists started to also translate the Bible. And they somehow found a few Christians among the Hadjat. They had been converted from Islam, and they were mother tongue speakers. But using Amharic, the imperial language of Ethiopia, they started to translate the Bible into Hadjat. And these Europeans stayed in Ethiopia well into the 90s. And despite the communist opposition to their behind-the-scenes work, these faithful language experts laid the foundation down for Bible translation. And these incredible linguists are now retired, and they're waiting eagerly to see their vision to bear fruit. And as a side note, their grandkids now attend school in Ethiopia with my kids. So it's kind of an interesting connection. But in 1991, the communist regime ended in Ethiopia, and the current era of democracy began. And it was then in the mid-90s that an official New Testament project began. And the linguistic foundation had been laid. The language was on its way to gaining sustainable literacy, and mother tongue translators were hired as their profession to do Bible translation work. And soon after the translation work started, some portions of Genesis were translated, they were printed, and they were distributed in the community. And these were very popular, as anything at that time in their mother tongue was such a novelty. What's this? This is in my language? What? And people were reading Genesis. Okay, so time out. Let's pause on the story of the Hadjat and reflect a little bit. Can you see how the translation team loved people? Many of around the world would call these people that they were working with their enemies. And they did so in such a supernatural and intentional way. They had a love. They had the goal to love these people by ensuring that they could hear in their own language the story about God's love in the world. The world and situations had changed from communism to democracy, but their love was intentional. It was planned, it was strategized, and it adapted to the environment around it, the political landscape and whatever. And of course, this makes us think of Paul's missionary journeys. He made a plan to love unreached groups. He made plans to travel all over the Mediterranean, but he adapted his plans when the Spirit led him in other ways. Maybe there was a shipwreck or something that led him in a different way, but he was flexible. So we need to ask, are we like that? Do we decide to love those around us? Do we pray strategically for our neighbors? Now, of course, don't be inauthentic or shallow in those relationships. Don't see people as mere trophies or projects to be won over, but we need to build real, authentic relationships. And we need to use these things? Listen to people? See where they're at and then engage and embrace them where they are at. And I think that has been preached from here enough that you understand that point. So, point number two, the second way we are different from the world is that we love our enemies and that we do good and we give generously by being immovable. We as Christ's disciples must live immovable lives. And I don't mean blockheaded. There's enough of those. There's enough closed-minded people. But what I do mean is that we must live consistent lives despite the trials, not hypocritical lives. And I love the book of Hebrews for this point, because the whole point of the book is to be immovable. Hang on to your faith despite the trials. And the author of Hebrews builds a very in-depth case throughout the book to support his main point that no matter what trials occur, in that context it would have been persecution, that we stand firm in our faith. And as I heard a pastor say recently, show the world how a child of God reacts to adversity in life. That's when the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Okay, so back to the story of the Hajjat. So unfortunately, among the Hajjat, translating the Bible among an unreached group who generally are not excited about any type of Christianity, and people who are often thought as antagonistic or enemies, that creates its own set of challenges. And this project was initially sensitive because it was conducted unofficially under the communist regime. But all along, there had been persecution from anyone in this group who converted to Christianity. Was it always violent persecution? No. Was it sometimes? Yes. But becoming a Christian among this group immediately stigmatizes you and your family. It is often easier for your family to just say that you are dead to them and cast you out than to continue bringing that shame onto your family. That's the kind of persecution that was seen. And the secrecy associated with this sensitive work does take its toll on mother tongue translators. There is the daily fear of being found out by your extended family and your community. The translation team actually doesn't even work in the language community proper, but in a nearby regional town that has no less than 7 other minority languages spoken there. There's also the persecution that could come if their secret employment is discovered. And as a result, between the mid-90s and today, there have been no fewer than 9 mother tongue translators on that team. And almost all of them were Muslim background believers. And then in 2013, when my journey with the Hajjat people began, I became the 5th translation advisor to work specifically with that group. So what has kept the work going despite this turnover? Only one thing as I see it. Simple. It's the vision of the Ethiopian church and their passion of a small community of Muslim background believers who kept it going. It was the church who had the vision to keep the work going for the sake of reaching the unreached within their own country. And the converted Hajjat people knew that their own people needed to hear Jesus' story in their own language. And they had made sacrifices. Their own comforts were gone. And they knew it would be worth it eternally if they were immovable. And our strongest partners in Ethiopia are the various denominations of the Ethiopian church and also the Bible Society of Ethiopia. And as a matter of fact, we made the strategic decision back in 2012 that our organization in Ethiopia would not lead translation projects there. But we handed all of the translation projects we had over to the Ethiopian church and to the Bible Society of Ethiopia. And we became a technical advisory organization in Ethiopia, training, advising, consulting, and walking with the church to see that the Bible translation projects accomplish what they want them to do, which is namely to become the authoritative scripture for minority language communities, and that people be transformed by the Word of God. And the 2 largest denominations in Ethiopia now have Bible translation departments that we help them develop, and they now oversee translation work. And we have the honor of I specifically have the honor of working weekly with the leaders of this church as we plan, like, what's next, what's in the project, what training does each team need. So, from 2013 to 2016, I served as the translation advisor for the current Hadjat Mother Tongue Translation Team. And these are amazing brothers in Christ, two of whom are actually Muslim background believers. So at this point, please don't take any pictures of the slides I'm about to show you. Don't put them on Facebook or anything like that. It is sensitive work. But at the end of March, just this last March, just a few months ago, Kara and I attended a celebration where we finally, after 40 years, dedicated the audio Hadjat New Testament, and where it was distributed as a talking Bible. After all these years, the New Testament is complete, and just a few months ago, I learned that the transcript checking has been completed, and now the typesetting has begun for the actual print New Testament. And so here's the picture of a talking Bible device. You can't tell from the picture, but it is painted green with gold trim so that it actually looks like a culturally acceptable holy book. A friend at Talking Bibles was excited to explain to me how he painstakingly painted this black device green with gold trim, because in the local culture, for Muslims, the typical black color represents death. And it is solar powered. And there's buttons for books, chapter, and verse. And after the ceremony that we attended, they were trained in how to do listening groups and how to do it effectively in the village so that they can learn to use the device and how to conduct things like discovery, Bible studies, and just have interested people listen to the words of God, the Injil, as they know it as the holy book in Islam. But despite the prestige and authority of a printed book, the audio version is very much valued, as there is still widespread illiteracy among the Hadjat people, and the majority of people are focused on sustainable agriculture. They're just building, farming enough to feed their own family and then go to market to trade for other things. But more Hadjat speakers are attending school than ever before, but there's still a lot of literacy work. One of the services we provide is for our partners in Ethiopia is to record in our studio audio portions of Scripture, full New and Old Testaments, Jesus film audio, the Lumo video gospel project as well. And like I said, all translated Scripture in Ethiopia and around the world is now put also into audio form. And several months ago, the Hadjat New Testament was recorded and an Android phone device app was created. And it has text with synchronized audio. After the service, I can show you that. And you can see how great a job they've done creating that app. It's free online. They can go to Google Play and just download it there or use Zender or something, and people can just have access to it immediately. So friends, can you see the thread of Christians living immovable lives? Yes, the project goes on despite many trials. And recently a friend said to me, "Will your enemies bring out the best in you?" And I can honestly say that being persecuted has brought out the best in the translators I work with. They are motivated by a changed heart. And if not, they wouldn't risk their lives daily to take on this challenging and sensitive work. Okay, so my last point and my longest point is, if we are to be Christ followers, we need to do so by being introspective. And of course, this should have been the first point. It is a bit backwards. Usually, who you are on the outside is because of who you are on the inside. That's what you show people. When your enemies are pouncing on you, what comes out is often what you've trained yourself to do and be on the inside. Your character comes out. It's in those trials that we really see how much we have been renewed. And Jesus came so that we could be changed from the inside out. And he came to give us a new heart. And think of all the wranglings in the New Testament that Jesus had with the Pharisees. These arguments that he had with them. They were doing the right things on the outside, but they were not changed on the inside. And even a few verses after today's verse in Luke 6:42, we have that very famous line. You hypocrite, first take out the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. How easy is it for us to take out the plank in our eye? We got to do some soul searching. We need to be introspective to see what is there and be humble about that. Even if, I say this just to show you how all of these great commands that Jesus tells us to live by are truly dependent on what? On our changed hearts. People don't suffer at the hands of others unless their heart is set upon something. They believe that it's worth suffering for. They endure because they believe in it. Something that they have come and spent time valuing in their heart. And we need to look inside and evaluate our hearts. We need to ask ourselves what we truly value and what we need to also remove. Now, during the dedication ceremony for the Hajjat, I had the honor of addressing the guests. And during this ceremony, I shared a story that was familiar to some of them because they were there. But several years ago, well, the process is after Scripture is drafted and then checked, we call all these mother tongue believers from the community to come into this church. It was actually right in that church there. And we would do something called a review committee check. We don't want just three people to look at the Bible before we print it. We want the whole language community to have an input into it. And the point is not to argue theological concepts, but to ensure that the translation we're working on sounds natural and is grammatically acceptable. And we were seeking to have a text that sounded like a Hajjat mother tongue speaker was actually the author. That's how pure we want this Hajjat language to be. For the more natural the language, the more the words will penetrate the heart of the listener. So every morning at this check, we would begin by having a study from the Word of God, and then we would sing a few songs and we'd pray. Well, one day after we sang yet another Amharic song, not a Hajjat song, an Amharic song, one of the gentlemen came up to me and said, "Hey, Rob, I write Hajjat worship songs." I said, "Why didn't you tell me before? You're going to teach us right now these Hajjat songs." And he did, and we sung another Amharic song, and the volume was pretty decent. But then when they were singing the Hajjat songs, the volume just, boom, and it was penetrating their heart. And for me, it was this image that I will never forget in the value of how your mother tongue penetrates your heart, and it's really hard as a second language speaker for it to penetrate. So, next slide we see here. So here they are during the celebration, singing another Hajjat song, during the celebration for the New Testament. And they're just praising the Lord for the gift of His Word now in their language. And as I mentioned earlier, the dedication ceremony was attended by church leaders and evangelists from all over the language community area. Some were evangelists, some are new pastors of near tribe churches in regional towns, and some were even government workers. There was even a sergeant of the police force here. And after the talking Bibles were unpackaged, they were prayed over and dedicated for use by these church leaders. There was one delegate from each denomination that came to the front and prayed over these devices. And I was listening to their prayers as they were passionately praying over the devices that there would be fruit. And I noticed, though, they were still praying in Amharic. And so I said, I walked over while they were praying, and I said to the guy, kind of the MC of the ceremony, I said, "Listen, why don't you have them start to pray in Hajjat?" And so before the next prayer started, the leader, he said, "Okay, whoever's next, just pray in Hajjat." And he did. And the whole world knew he was. Maybe he was motivated by my story about the volume of the singing or whatever, but he just belted out this prayer of praise, thanking the Lord. So much so that I actually got a bit nervous, because this was supposed to be a low-key, sensitive ceremony. And of course, this is a good lesson for me as an outsider. This is their work. This is their ministry, and it's their changed hearts. They will not always conform to operating how the clueless Canadian thinks things should be done. But it's also worth mentioning that it is these people here in this picture, these church leaders, that are the ones that are the most excited about the New Testament now being available. These are the ones seeking to love their enemies. They have spent years being introspective about their newfound faith in Christ, and it is they who have counted the cost to continue working for God's glory so that their own people could also have the chance to hear Jesus' good news for them. And from the beginning of my work among the Hadjat, I've been asked by countless evangelists and other mission friends who are working with the Hadjat to send them scripture passages as we translate them. And these friends are always asking me, when's it going to be available? When's it done? And so I have often, through this whole process, been sending them the next little bit of scripture so that they can do a discovery Bible study amongst some interested Muslims. And they're very excited now that they have the audible scripture as well. Something else I really need to acknowledge is that many of you have been praying on this journey with us for the Hadjat people. So I really, from my heart, want to thank you for that. And we wish we could have been, you could have been at the dedication with us. I took a lot of pictures. You can ask me for those later. But maybe for another language in Ethiopia, some of you will send a delegation to come and celebrate with us. Anyway, let me know. But Kara, my wife, also had the chance to attend the dedication. And we definitely made sure we had childcare that day. But as with all people involved in this kind of work, in our case, the whole family is invested in this ministry. And I have many times thanked Kara. I just shake my head sometimes and think, honey, thank you for being willing to be on this journey with me. And she keeps reminding me it's her mission too and her vision too, not just mine. And she assures me that yes, she is also on board. So over the past 5 years or so, it's been an amazing shift among the Hadjat people. Many people are turning to Jesus and putting their faith in him. They are looking inside their own hearts and seeing that Christ is actually worth following. The church and these other ministries have seen a great increase in hunger for knowing God. And there have been many late night, very secretive baptisms and Bible studies behind closed doors in the Hadjat language area. Now, have all of these new followers of Christ left the comfort of their family and culture and religious system? Well, no. Sometimes counting the cost of your faith takes time and some serious discipleship. And the translators know the seriousness of the impact of these new audio Bible devices being out now in the community. The translators explained very clearly to the church leaders and evangelists during the dedication, listen, you can't tell people where these came from. It can't be tracked back to these church leaders. But then again, really, who am I to tell them? They need to tell everyone that they know that they have turned to Jesus. They know it will jeopardize their safety. And they're the ones on the journey with God. It's my journey is different than theirs. And it is their choice. And it's through their relationship with Jesus as disciples that they will over time increase in boldness. But that's between them and the Lord. And many of the people at this event, you can go back to that other picture. Many people in that, next picture. Yeah, there you are. Many people in this room have counted the cost, and they became mature Christians. They became immovable. They became zealous people with intensity over time. It has been a journey of discipleship for them. But now, as we look to the future, sometime after this summer, the New Testament will be printed, and then another larger dedication will take place for the actual physical book. And it will definitely be a bigger deal, because in this culture, which has been influenced by Islam, they highly respect the actual physical Word of God as a holy book. And the translation team is now invested in translating the Taurat, which is the Arabic name of the holy books of Moses. We know them as the Torah or the Pentateuch. That's what they're translating now. And the church has hired a new translator, who is now, by the way, the 10th translator for that project. And they are currently translating this Old Testament. And also, one of the translators that I worked with is in an internship program, learning to be a translation advisor like I was, for other translation projects in Ethiopia. And I have the honor of being his mentor for that journey. And of course, I am still in touch with this European linguist who lives in Finland, who started this work. They're obviously very excited to see the New Testament, and now finally it's being released and used. Depending on their health, we'll see if they can make it to the New Testament book dedication. But ultimately, if not, they realize that their legacy is not nearly as important as the Word of God being distributed and used. But Ethiopia's history has been and is being guided by God. Now, this is a time of harvest among the Hadjat, and the people are hearing. And this is just the story of the Hadjat, however. I've also been to three other Bible dedications of three other totally different languages over the last 6 months. And there's the Daraita, top right. There's the Shakacho, top left. There's the Hamtaga on the bottom right. And I've got here a New Testament that was printed. This is the Hamtaga language. This picture here, there was over 1,000 people at that celebration, and every one of them received a Bible. And the priests are leading the literacy program. So all the kids that were there, they could actually already pick it up and start reading. And then also the Shakacho dedication, which is the top left. They had an amazing celebration. It wasn't as big. I think there was only 300 people there that got a Bible. But all of these have passionate people working with them. And it's a bit of a golden season. There should be another 3 or 4 within the next calendar year that will be dedicated in Ethiopia, all thanks to the passion of the Ethiopian church that has taken on the task to do this. So please continue to pray. As we don't know what kind of backlash the culture may experience in the Hadjat now that there are really and readily available scriptures. But despite whatever happens, people are hearing and God's word is being distributed among the people, and people are being transformed. And of course, I can't say enough to thank you, Westlock, for your support of this work. But as a review, we must live as disciples by being intentional, by being immovable, and by being introspective. So I hope this story of the Hadjat has encouraged you in two ways. Number one, thank you for involvement in the work going on a whole world away. We can't go on and interact with the same people, but you have been a big part of these activities through your very intentional prayer and your intentional giving to us in this work. And number two, I hope that this message has encouraged you to do a bit of introspection, to look at your life as a disciple. Because, of course, it's worth our time to be introspective and align and realign how we are to be living as disciples of Christ. Are we living intentional, immovable, unshakable lives despite all these pressures that are on us from the world? Our neighbors don't need us to just go with the flow. They need authentic caring and authentic listening neighbors. So why do Christians do hard things? Because they are moved by a changed heart. They have a changed perspective and a changed attitude for their enemies and for those around them. So if you, of course, want to talk more about the Hadjat, more about what's going on in Ethiopia, we'll be at the back to talk. But let me pray for you today. Let's close in prayer. Father, I pray that as we exit this building, as we interact over lunch, as we walk through those doors at the back and we go into the world again, that your Holy Spirit would grab a hold of our hearts so that people can see incredible actions and incredible work that we can do. I thank you for the dedication of this congregation. As I look around and I see there's kids, there's older people, and they're all ministering together. I thank you for the fruit that Westlock Gospel Chapel has had in the community. I pray that there would be a continued renaissance in Westlock for people not going post-Christian, but into a loving relationship with you, finding faith in you. May people in this congregation be a light and be salt in this world and in the community of Westlock and the communities surrounding it. Of course, we give ourselves to you today as living sacrifices. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.